Blog Talk Radio.
I hope we're all savabianing tonight. You're tuned in right now, live, can you imagine, to Come Now, Don't Sulk, a live podcast right here on Blog Talk Radio, part of the Here Be Monsters studio network. And I am Sybil Brunchen, in case you don't know, or in case you're having too much aluminum in your cookware. I am here with my wonderful producer. Yes, the all-clad aluminum scandal, which we'll discuss in a minute. I'm here, that wonderful belly laugh you're hearing, that warm chuckle, is coming from my producer, my executive producer, and my muse, Gwendolyn Holdenberry, who is the producer of all the Here Be Monsters programs, of which mine is, I'm very proud to say that mine is part of their studio, much like the MGM people. Yes, that's what the Here Be Monsters are, the HBM people. And our sponsor tonight and always is daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com, all one word. Check it out on your computer tonight, your laptop, even your phone while we're doing our broadcast. They have the fragrant memories of our ancestors, wonderful magical oils, fragrances, essential oils, just an amazing array of products. In the hundreds, when you go to their site, you're going to be flabbergasted because they have hundreds of products made up of hundreds of different permutations and combinations of the most exotic and strange and mysterious and delightful essential oils, blossoms, herbals, all sorts of things. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. I want to remind you, and I'm going to do it early this week because every week I do it, and we're trying to see if we can motivate people to participate. This is a participation program. You can call in. Yes, you can call in. And this includes people who are in the Eastern Standard Time, which is where we are right now, or you could call in from Australia, where we have all sorts of – Jeff Wasley, are you listening in Australia? I hope that you're there and safe and all your friends are safe. We have viewers or listeners, I should say, from all around the world, all 24 time zones on Earth and two on the planet Mars. Isn't that exciting, boys and girls? Call in. Our phone number is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Call in and talk to Mummy. Our subject tonight was, are you surviving winter? I mean, my goodness, my graphic was of those two legs sticking out of a snowdrift. It is rough, isn't it? For so many reasons. But let's talk to Gwendolyn for a second. Oh, by the way, we're broadcasting to you tonight. Gwendolyn is high atop the Chrysler Building in the revolving ballroom of the Cafe Berlin, where we normally broadcast with our lovely studio audience of diners and dancers in the revolving ballroom. But Mummy is on assignment right now in Minneapolis. I'm actually in Bloomington, Minnesota, and I'm looking out right now on Minneapolis and St. Paul, and it is winter here. We've got 7 inches of snow everywhere and snow drifts, and it's very chilly and very, very – but I'm cozy inside the hotel, of course. But I'm broadcasting to you on a remote from there. But Gwendolyn, you're back in New York where they're having a bit of a warm spell. I want to talk to you because we're leaving January. We just celebrated the Chinese New Year, which is the year of the metal rat, I believe. We had a new moon on that day. And I want to talk about what's a fragrance for February. We need a February fragrance or something, don't we?
Well, you know, in February, with it coming up on the St. Valentine's Day, it's always nice to have the king and the queen of scent to use or to work with or to have it. And it's very fortunate, the scents. And the king would be jasmine and the queen would be rose. So rose.
Say that again. Say that again. I want to hear that again. Say that again. The king is, go on.
The king would be jasmine. Knight Blue right. Jasmine, and the queen is Rose. So you have the rose and the jasmine. Those scents are key to also gearing you towards the coming spring, which is, you know, first or fall spring, and first spring is traditionally through many cultures thought of on February 1st with the celebration of Candlemas or St. Bride's Day, Bridget's
right.
Day,
yeah.
or
yeah.
what the pagan community and neo-pagan and all the little witches and warlocks, whatever, celebrate the cross-quarter day of Imbolc. So you have
okay.
a lot of celebrations in February that are gearing you towards the coming spring. And Mummy, your suggestion of any time, cleaning out the closets and paring things down, this is the perfect time gate for that too.
Good to know. I'm glad that I'm not out of sync with natural rhythms or with the universe or whatever by suggesting that. It just always struck me when I was little, when my mother first proposed that we do spring cleaning, of course, as a small child, I asked her what that meant. And she and my grandmother explained it to me, the whole idea of it. And it struck me as interesting. Not only because I resented doing chores, but because I was like, well, wait a minute, why are we doing that? We're going to be outside. We're going to be warm weather and playing and outdoors in the sun and at the ocean and everything. And they sort of blinked at me, and I said, wouldn't it be better when we should do it in the fall when we get closed in? And I think I was 4 at the time, and my mother sort of blinked. Because she was alternately inspired and vexed by any intelligence that I exhibited. My mother was glad to know that her child was, you know, teetering on brilliance. But on the other hand, she resented the fact that anyone could be more clever than she, which is, well, often why she started fires and left sharp objects out where children and animals could get into mischief. And my grandmother really had to try and thwart those things, often by calling military people into the house and having my mother shackled and thrown in the basement. Those are all stories for another time. But back to you and this, I just feel that this time, and I'm still doing it this winter, of straightening things, trying to finish up projects, trying to complete incomplete and uncompleted things, to do less procrastinating. I'm trying to do those things. Plus, I have another birthday coming up, and that just is a source of endless woe to me. When I tell people my age, I literally burst out laughing. So it's just whatever. You know?
Well, you know, Mummy, it's also, we've just celebrated the Chinese New Year. It is the year of the metal rat. And
so I was right. I said that. So I was right. The metal rat.
Yes. And this year, coming into this, which is a pretty awesome year for good luck.
Which is
a shift from the last few years, which has been dumping the garbage and preparing us for it. But it's perfect right now at this time, this coming week going into February, to sweep the karma in the feng shui tradition. Sweep the karma out. And Daughters of Isis actually has a flower essence formula made to just do that, called sweeping karma in our feng shui essences.
Great. So wait a minute. So people should look for that on the website. When they go to the website tonight, they should look for that specifically.
Yes, it's under the flower essences, and it's among the feng shui essences. And basically how you use them, it's a homeopathic application, not a scent. But you put a few drops of that into a bath, and you'd be surprised how much of a revival that can be, slugging off all the old energy and bringing new down.
That's fabulous. That is wonderful. How should they use that fragrance? They shouldn't use it as a body fragrance. They should tell them how they should use it.
It's not a fragrance. It's a homeopathic application. And what it does is
yes,
it allows you to much like it's made in the tradition of the Bach flower remedies or flower essences or the rescue remedy people are so familiar with. And what you do is you can use it sublingually, put a few drops under your tongue or a couple of drops over your heart center. But basically, it's an effect, a vibrational, a subtle effect that blossoms forth from you and allows you to subconsciously awaken to the idea of letting go of the old and bringing on new.
I'm listening. I lost you for one second there.
It brings a new energy. It revives your enthusiasm, and it brings you to the living in the moment place.
It's important, Gwendolyn, for you to always tell people how to use these products, because some can be used in on the body, or can be used physically by a person on their body. But some are not designed for that, right? Some should be used as a diffuser.
Some are basically flower essences. They're homeopathic remedies. Any of the misters that you buy from me, there's essential oils in them companioned with these kind of homeopathic formulas.
So it is all right for them to touch skin then. I know that some fragrances are supposed to be used only in a diffuser. You're not really supposed to spray them on your collar or on the back of your neck or on your wrist. Some fragrances are wonderful to have, but you're not necessarily supposed to. For instance, lavender, you can buy lavender and spray it on your skin, but you're not necessarily allowed to cook with it, right?
Well, it depends on the quality of the essential oil that you're working with, but these aren't essential oils. They're literally vibrational water that have been preserved in an organic brandy.
Uh-huh.
So there's no scent to them. They're totally vibrational or subtle. They're homeopathic.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. And again, the fragrance that you're suggesting for February is tell them the name one more time so that we can get it on the website.
Well, I'm suggesting the Sweeping Karma Flower Essence, and I'll post the link on my page and yours over in the Facebook jungle.
Yes, everybody can find Gwendolyn and Daughters of Isis on Facebook, by the way, so that's a good place to go. All righty, well, I'm going to just mention one thing right now about cleaning out and cleaning up and trying to make things a little bit more sensible in this unsensible world right now. I don't know if anyone was watching. I'm not going to go off on tangents tonight. We'll talk about happier things. But I took a brief break from the Senate trials. I had to not watch it every day, all day. Et cetera, et cetera. And I tuned off for a couple of days, especially since we were traveling. Since the last time I spoke to you, I've been to Boston, New Haven, and now and back to New York, and then to Minneapolis. And I tuned in today, knowing that I was getting ready for the show tonight. I tuned into MSNBC and was thunderstruck at Pam Bondi, one of the defense counsel people, for Trump. I don't know if you saw it. I posted things. I mean, when I first saw her and she was speaking at the same lectern that, you know, Adam Schiff stood at and other people have stayed, I was flabbergasted. First of all, she is a blonde, one of those blonde Ivanka wannabes. She looked like she had been styled by the president's daughter. She even had a face similar, although the bags under her eyes have not been corrected surgically. She looks much less like a Stepford wife than Ivanka does. Ivanka, courtesy of her father's billions and, you know, whatever deal she's made with Satan, has managed to have perfect skin. Her face is perfectly tight and she's perfect. This Pam Bondi looks like that, except that the bags under her eyes were shocking. She's a youngish woman who clearly is wearing out under the strain of having to be a GOP defender of Trump and his, you know, and bitch McConnell and flimsy graham cracker and all that crowd. It's exhausting her. However, her blonde hair is exactly Ivanka-like. Her demeanor, everything is Ivanka, except for one thing. She was dressed like a Klingon princess from Star Trek. The outfit was absolutely shocking. She had sort of weird Orlan metallic, I don't know what, a tux from the planet Uranus or something. It wasn't like a normal business suit that a successful congresswoman or senator would be wearing. She was dressed literally like from 1965, Star Trek, a Klingon princess waiting for James Kirk to make his moves on her. I was flabbergasted. And then, after the initial shock of her outfit wore off, she was inarticulate. She was stumbling all over the place on what she was trying to convey. And she went on and on and on. And I got comments all over the place. And so, like Coco Lachine said, she belongs in the same sorry ass camp as Marsha Blackburn and Martha McSally. By the way, home listeners, I thank you for being on my Facebook page and posting your comments and everything. This was the winner, though. This was the winner. All that Pam Bondi said today, all she did was talk about the Bidens. She was elaborating on the evidence against the Bidens and people that said the Bidens and the eye color of the Bidens and what the necktie was of the Bidens and Hunter Biden, how do you spell his name backwards? And oh my God, it went on and on and on. And finally, one of my favorite people on Facebook, Brenda McLean Thomas. Brenda, if you're on right now, I'm calling you out. Gave you an A+ on this. She finally said, I didn't know we were impeaching Hunter Biden, but that is how Bondi is laying out her argument for Trump's trial. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely true. I didn't know we were impeaching Hunter Biden. Pam Bondi literally said the word Biden every five words in every sentence. And it was nothing but a complete inquisition, a 15th century inquisition denunciation of Hunter Biden in preparation for burning him at the stake. It was like, wait a minute. So you're defending a criminal by digging up something that you think is criminal, which apparently the Justice Department and everyone doesn't think, but okay, we'll ignore that the earth is round, Pam. Okay. So we're going to go with you. The earth is flat. Okay, and if you sail too far in one direction, you'll fall off. Okay, so we get that. But you are literally defending Donald Trump, not by defending him, but simply bringing up something else and simply talking about it during your time and spending hours, I guess in the hope of exhausting the senators. And, you know, I didn't see whether the Republicans all came back into the room, you know, the way they were leaving left and right, and which they were not supposed to do during the Democrats' presentation. I think the rules being bent are very seriously discouraging. And I was heartened today to find out that all of their cell phones have been taken away, have been confiscated. I heard that in passing. I was flabbergasted. And I was wondering why that didn't happen from the minute the trial started. But that was supposed to be one of the rules. No one was to be making phone calls or texting. They were not even supposed to be reading things off their cell phones. They're supposed to be in the room. They're supposed to be awake. No, they're not supposed to have anything. No right. Electronic devices. They're not supposed to be reading a newspaper, technically. They're supposed to be awake and looking at what is happening. It's supposed to be sort of like the scene in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, where Jimmy Stewart is filibustering, and he is standing there hour after hour, and the senators are in their seats. Some of them are exhausted. Some of them in that scene, I believe, were reading things or reading newspapers. But the new rules are that they are not allowed to have electronic devices and fiddling around, and yet Bitch McConnell and Flimsy Graham Cracker and Tom Cornhole, all of them, you know, Snooze and Collins, all of them were like leaving for bathroom breaks every 15 minutes or whatever. I just find it incredible. And I must tell you that all of this largesse that we're directing at Justice Roberts, you know, Chief Justice Roberts, and, well, he's really a good guy after all, or he's trying to be impartial. Really? Really?
Is that really?
Why he messed up, is that why he messed up Obama's first swearing in ceremony in front of millions of people around the world? That's why he messed it up. And Obama then tried to get him back on track. This is impartiality. Let me tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, he's Scalia and drag. You know what I mean? He's nobody's pal on the left or in the blue. So, you know, and maybe that's why he hasn't been stepping in and nailing his pals, palsy wowsies.
Mummy, they have so much other things to the spin, the shiny objects that are getting placed all around this. Have you taken a gander at the Trumpian spiritual leader who is trying to defend herself now about her comments, you know, in hexing satanic babies? the center here is not holding, okay? It is falling apart at the center with the GOP.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I want to emphasize something too, because there's so many issues and things involved in this. Folks at home and Facebookers, I welcome your comments on my thing. I of course ask you, if you're going to read something, you can click the like emoji. I have some people in my circle who I've known for years, actually, who just, they can't bring themselves to like or love or laugh or whatever the emojis when they read something. You know, folks, that's just laziness. That's really serious laziness. I do it all the time. I promise you, as Facebookers, if I read your comment, I post an emoji. And since they gave me the love option, I usually post the love option if I like what you posted and I acknowledge it. Even if I don't agree with it, I usually post the love. If I agree with it and I'm not passionate about it, I'll press the like thumbs up thing. You know, if I agree with you about the anger thing, I'll press the anger one. I certainly press the laugh one. I have all sorts of people that don't do that. But one thing that I've noticed is that people are commenting on things and will comment completely tangential to what the thing is. So when I post those banners, like about Pam Bondi, I was getting all sorts of weird, like tangential comments that have nothing to do with anything. I'm going to ask you to please try, when you post on my pages, to focus on what I've posted and comment on that within that. Don't give me a brownie recipe when I tell you about Pam Bondi being dressed like a Klingon. Okay, there are certain issues that we're dealing with today. Listen, no one's more in favor of humor and silliness than Mummy. Okay, I'm as silly as they come. But when the issue is serious, I ask you either to get in some satire or talk to me intelligently about what you think too. Okay, and say, oh, I disagree with that, or I agree with it, but don't. It's so weird. I just find the whole thing very strange that's going on. It's almost like people are losing their ability to reason and read and actually think during these trying times. And it certainly is understandable with all of the distractions, as you said, the shiny object thing. My goodness, people with ADD are just being victimized by any shiny object that's flashed in front of them right now. It's shocking. Gwendolyn, have you been watching the trials daily, or have you had to turn off once in a while?
Oh, I don't treat myself that badly. I wait for I see recaps from people. I see your page. I catch up that way a little bit when I see your commentary.
Uh-huh.
I also see articles being posted, and I scroll by those. But when I really want to hear something, I wait until like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night and check out Chris Hayes or Rachel Maddow, one or the other, and then I move on because I can't. No, it's too much. If it were me, Pam Bondi was a crooked, bent lawyer here for the state of Florida. And it was obvious what she was doing for Trump when he got into trouble down here. So, you know, and to see the clown parade, you know, of people standing there. I heard that Ken Starr was putting people to sleep. And, you know, it's just, it's the center is not holding that. But that's the good thing about stepping back and stepping away. And then taking an overview look at it, because, Mommy, I think that, you know, and we won't talk about beasts slouching towards, you know, the city center, but the center really does not hold right now. They're eating their own. And it's pretty plain and apparent, I think, to the American public what's going on here.
Well, I want to address that. People are claiming, and I'm traveling throughout the country, so I'm seeing it firsthand, that there are many places around the country, especially in the middle part of the country, the red state center of the country, that many PBS and NPR stations were swallowed up by competition that was, you know, Roger Ailes inspired, that the right wing bought up stations and broadcast so hugely and so powerfully around those stations that they don't really have coverage, that there's whole sections of the country that don't get that kind of balanced fair or other side, even the other side. Everyone keeps saying that, well, the left is just as dangerous as the right as far as their news coverage. I don't find that to be true at all. MSNBC isn't nearly as rabid in its blueness as Fox is in its redness. Fox Network has, with Roger Ailes, you know, inspiration. Thank goodness he's burning in hell right now, where he belongs and where he wanted to be. You know, being the pal of Satan, I'm sure he's having a wonderful, you know, cocktail hour right now. But the whole thing is that the Fox Network is as rabid and dangerous as everyone, you know, on that side had wanted it to be. They are adhering to Hitler's great lie philosophy. If you're going to tell a lie, make it a great lie, make it huge, because the bigger it is, the more unlikely will anyone believe that it's false. It'll be so big that it'll be impossible to deny, especially if you keep repeating and repeating and repeating it, which of course is what Joseph Goebbels was doing with the propaganda and everything.
Do you know what I heard last week? I was waking up having my coffee, and my sister was watching out in the main, was watching MSNBC's Morning Joke, and I listen to these, you know, resigned Republicans sitting there spinning what was happening with our government in terms of a dogfight. The Democrats just don't understand it's a dogfight. And even making references to things like, you know, that's a real hooker in the trunk, you know, and a hooker's body in the trunk and things. And I'm thinking, oh my God, do you hear these men? I mean, they have no idea what constituency means. They are not for country or people. They are for the power play. And that's the difference here, in my opinion, looking at it, the overall between, and you're talking about Fox, they belong more on Fox than they do MSNBC, in my opinion. But they are talking about, you know, the presentation of the Trump people, the way they do it, we should be doing the same thing kind of thing. And if you look on the faces of any intelligent person watching this can see the stark difference in narrative between what the Democrats have done to impeach the president and their articles of impeachment versus what these Republicans are doing. And it just stuns me that, you know, so MSNBC has its Republican spin going too.
Well, one thing I want to, what I'd like to address too is I have posted not only those banners, and by the way, I don't need your help, everybody, on posting those banners. They're only a certain number of characters, okay? It's like a tweet. You only get a certain number of characters. So I love when people write in comments and start lecturing me on what I should have put in those little Facebook banners, the ones with the funny backgrounds and everything. It's like, folks, it's not, I don't have, 500, I can't do 25 sentences. I can't fulfill all your needs for all your little facts or factoids or names or whatever. It's like, it's only a certain number of characters and punctuation marks, and then it's done. So I don't need your help, but thank you. Okay. I'm Sybil Brunson. Yeah. And I can do it myself. Thank you. Okay. Back to what I was going to say. People, I have been posting that in some of these situations where, Bitch McConnell or Flimsy Graham Cracker or whatever have said such and such, and they have completely made fools of themselves. And I have said in shorthand, basically, but this, of course, is all futile. What I mean is it's not pointless to do. It means that it's very unlikely that that Trump is going to be dislodged. That we've got a Senate full of gangsters. So I keep hearing, and this worries me for the election in 2020. This reminds me of I've got to be very careful. I have a person, a Facebook person named Gary B. And Gary was one of many, many people back in 2016 who was going on and on and on about how Hillary was going to win. Hillary was ahead in points. Hillary was this, Hillary was that. Donald Trump was inconceivable and not even possible to win, let alone be nominated. And of course, we watched his inexorable, implacable rolling like the blob in that Steve McQueen movie, The Blob. He simply rolled and oozed across the floor closer and closer through the, each primary, and then finally was nominated, and then finally oozed and rolled into the White House. And I had begged people to ignore the polls, to ignore the 3-point lead she had in Wisconsin or whatever those sad things were. I kept saying, please take nothing for granted. Do you remember the election of 2000 when we all woke up with gunpowder all over our faces, when George Bush ended up being declared the winner by, his brother's state, Florida? It was like, oh my God, don't take anything for granted. And people keep taking things for granted. People are now saying, 57% of the country wants Trump out. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't believe it and don't say it. Who knows if it's true? And secondly, even if it's true, until 98% of this country is absolutely on camera every night saying, I want Trump dead, until Fox Network is finally cornered like a bad chess game into a corner with the king and the pawn, and that's all that's left. There's no queens, bishops, rooks, or knights. Fox is cornered, and they finally, our Laura Ingraham goes on the air with a seppuku blade, with a harakiri blade, and disembowels herself and says, I can't believe it. 90% of the Fox listeners want Trump dead. You are not to believe anything. We cannot take anything for granted this time. We cannot assume anything. I don't want to ever hear anyone who gets on my page and says, well, Sybil, Biden is 40 points ahead of Trump. You're doomed. I'm throwing you off my page. Because this time, this is such a serious situation. The damage that the Trump and his minions have done to the environment, to our deficit, the catastrophe that has befallen this country will not be fixed for generations. Long after I'm dead and Gwendolyn is dead, if we had grandchildren, if I had an infant right now in a stroller who was my grandchild and was looking at it, I would know that my child would die of old age with the damage done in this country not completely fixed. So there's no taking anything for granted. And people who keep saying, well, you know, the Democrats are really putting their case across for Trump's removal. And the Republicans are real. Listen, I'm making fun of Pam Bondi. Pam Bondi could have taken a crap. She could have pulled her Klingon panties down and taken a big, fat, stinking crap in that room. And they would still think she was a saint, and they would still think Trump was a saint, and they would still think Adam Schiff was a liar. So whatever bad performances they're coming up with, whatever ignorance they're displaying, okay, they are not going to dislodge Donald Trump. He is in. They've gone beyond. They've crossed the Rubicon. They've sold their souls. There's no getting their souls back now. Even Susan Collins, even Mitt Romney, they're not going to get rid of him.
Did you really expect it? I never really expected any one of them to cross the line. That the only one who's crossed the line with them is now gone. And that was the guy who walked in and put his thumbs down on revoking ACA, and that was John McCain.
Yeah,
and
John McCain.
He was the last cowboy, the last maverick to walk out of that Senate. And you know, it's just, but you can't give up and you can't give in. You have to keep working towards the positive. You know, you really do.
Yeah.
But as you say, don't be shaded or shadowed by, you know, proclamations of, oh, we'll get them out this way or possibly somebody's going to vote that way. No, I think it's pretty obvious what the Republicans are going to do. And
well,
I think the national news, the NBC, CBS, and ABC are capsuling each day of these. And the people of America who sit down for their dinner or after dinner and watch the evening news before going off to bed and doing their other chores before, you know, Colbert or whoever they watch, you know, instead of Carson, they're getting the gist of what is happening. And if you pay attention to those news caps and what they're saying, it's pretty obvious what's going on with the Republican Party and the president.
Well, we're going. I agree. I was the
and
one who
we
I,
have a
saying,
phone call.
Okay, well, I'll take it 1 second, but I wanted to finish this. I said ages ago that the Republican Party looked like, because I love history and American history, it looked like the party, the Whig Party, and other parties in the 1800s that began to unravel and had to reinvent themselves. Okay, but I'm concerned that the Democratic Party may be on the verge of changing. In 50 years, I wonder if we're going to have a Republican and a Democratic Party the way we have them now, because the Democrats continue to whistle in the dark. They continue to like, well, it's going to come our way this time. It's going to be our way this time. It's like not until every damn Democrat votes, because we have way too many people not voting, not registering, scratching their asses, being enthralled to Jill Idiot Stein or Gary Moron Johnson, or just staying home because they don't like Bernie Sanders or they didn't like Hillary Clinton. It's like there's no room for anyone to not vote, not register, and not vote, and not to vote smartly. So we're going to have to really – the Democrats are going to have to come up with the goods this time themselves if they want to get these people out of the way. I'll take the phone call, though, Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn, are you there? Okay, well, we seem to be having a technical difficulty. Anyway, what I was saying was, so please, when I say that we are, that I consider a situation futile, I don't mean that it's futile. I mean that it's foolish to think that this is going to get Donald Trump dislodged. I think that we're pretty much stuck until election time. And so then we're going to really have to come up with the goods. Anyway, so we're going to take 1 second. We're going to see what our technological problem is. And we will know in just a second. It looks like we got cut off by the Blog Talk people. Yeah, something. Oh, yeah. Okay, our sound booth just announced that we got cut off. I'm hoping you can still hear me, but Gwendolyn seems to be out. So give 1 second and we will get back on the air. Hold on 1 second.
Mommy, are you there?
All right. Yes, I am. I guess we went dead for a little while there.
We did. We got cut off. And let me try and see if the caller is still online.
We got cut off last week when we were being too controversial.
I know.
The ghost of Roger Ailes is interfering in our program.
A caller on 914 area code, are you there? Hello, caller?
Nope. Well, all right. Well, we've lost them. We lost everything for a little bit there. But I don't know if anything, when you went off, I'm not sure if anyone could hear me either. So maybe we just had dead air time there for a while.
They could hear you. That much I do know. They could hear you, but I was totally cut out. I was dropped, and I had to reboot the calling. I am so sorry for the technical difficulties.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Everybody, we all know that there's technical difficulties, and we're all back together at this point.
Here's the caller. Here's the caller again. Just let me see if they're connected.
Okay.
914 area code. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Who's our caller?
Yes. Hi.
We're losing you completely, whoever this is.
Yeah,
this is actually
up.
George Sweet.
George, oh my gosh, George, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Can you hear me?
Listen, I have to give you a proper introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, well, first of all, it's very funny. Facebook people. We have one of the icons of Facebook on the air right now. I wish I'd known because I would have done posters and skywriting. George Sweet is one of the most beloved and popular people on Facebook. George is the one who posts daily, hourly, sometimes every 10 minutes, photographs and pictures of the most beautiful things, everything from jewelry to objects to architecture to just anything and everything that is about beauty and genius and the ability of human beings to make joy with their hands and their eyes and their minds and their hearts. George Sweet is the ultimate celebrant of all of that stuff, and he posts it all the time for thousands of people on Facebook. I'm not even doing him justice. George, it's so wonderful to have you on the show tonight. How are you?
I am blushing like you wouldn't believe. I am
which
right
is in blonde. Since you're a blonde, it really does show.
I'm actually a Puerto Rican, blonde Puerto Rican, but I'm like, even I am so red right now. I can feel my face flush. Thank you so much. Oh my goodness.
Oh, how's your little girl?
She just flew up the bed. She just ran down the hallway. She's doing very well. She's my little Fifth Avenue girl.
Tell the audience at home what I'm referring to as your little girl.
Oh, Theodora, my little black cat.
And how did you get, listen to this, everybody. George Sweet found a little black kitten on Fifth Avenue in New York City, in Manhattan. And what was the cross street? You found her where? Was it near Central Park?
She was by 105th on Fifth Avenue. She was uptown Fifth Avenue, though.
which explains why she's black. She's from the Harlem Renaissance. Now, and she has a wonderful sense of kitty rhythm, doesn't she?
Exactly.
And she was only like a few weeks old, wasn't she, when you found her?
I think she was like more like maybe 3 or 4 months, because she definitely wasn't.
And was she that old? She
was
tiny, though.
Yeah, she was still, she's a tiny cat. She's only 6 pounds now. She's a small girl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And when George first posted pictures of her, she looked like a kitten. She did not look like she was 3 or 4 months old. She looked much younger.
Yeah. I mean, I think she, you know, she definitely wasn't a kitten or a feral. I think she either got away from somebody, or I have the feeling somebody put her out, you know.
Terrible.
Maybe some, you know, poor, you know, some lady with, you know, with kids and couldn't take care of her, and maybe figure out, put her out by Central Park, and maybe so, you know. I think.
But she walked right up to you, didn't she? Wasn't that the situation?
I was babysitting 2 dogs, my sister's friend's dogs, and I had them, and it was like the stars were aligned, because I was walking down Fifth Avenue, and she came out of the dark from behind a tree. It was about almost 8 o'clock at night. And it was cold. It was on November 11th, on 11/11, which is one of my favorite number combinations. November 11th, and then she came out of the dark and she came right up to me and the 2 dogs and started crying so loud. I was like, so I put her in my coat. She started crying and purring, and I'm like, what am I gonna do? So I brought her home. That was a year ago. So, and she's the sweetest little thing ever. You know, I
she is. She's priceless. And I love the pictures you post of her and her adventures. She's amazing. I love that she came up and demanded attention. I love that she walked up.
It's kind of like my sister and I talked about it. Like, we're like, because, you know, I will often, like, friends and family here, I'll just often look at her because she's, you know, she's quite something. She has not a bean bone in her body. She never wakes me up, and, you know, with all my little antiques and stuff, she walks around and she'll gently glide through everything, and I call it sphinxing. I'll walk out into the hallway, and she's standing like a perfect statue on my console table next to an object art, and she's like posed like a goddess.
Yes.
Now,
her figure.
The microwave, and I'm like, hail Theodora, hail to you.
Right.
So
her figure is absurd. She literally is a black, she's the Egyptian cat cast in black fur. She is absolutely sculptural. She is like an art object. I love that she, and this is, I don't want to get into a sad, creepy place. She took a chance on a cold night on Fifth Avenue with traffic everywhere. So many things could have gone wrong. You know what I mean? So many things in a kitty could have gone the wrong way. And she, as a young kitty, walking out from behind a tree and trusting that the person she was walking up to was not a crackpot or a psycho. And she threw her caution to the wind and just said, I need you. I need help. Please help me. And there are so many kitties and dogs and animals that are in stress and distress and walk into the wrong arms, walk into the wrong situation.
Yes,
and it's so wonderful that you two angels, because that's what I've always called you. I call you each other's angels, because you were her angel. And we are, when we take an animal into our lives and love it, we are just as rescued as they are.
I
believe that.
It's funny because I was actually my I had the same family of dogs, 3 generations of the same family of dog since I was in my 20s. It was like 30 years. And when my last dog passed, I said, no more pets. You know, I'm done. You know, it's time for me to take a break. And then my father passed, and, you know, at a service, they were talking about how he took in every little stray or whatever. And then it was within a few days after his service, she popped up. And so my sister and I were like, I think she's a gift from my father. And
isn't that extraordinary?
And then the thing is that people will always say, because I look at her, I go, who are you? Who sent you? And, you know, because, I mean, she does these things, and I'm like, and then so, I definitely was one day, I was sitting in the window, and I walk up, and I'm by myself, and I'm like, who are you? Who sent you? And my father's mask card fell out of the book. And so I'm like, thanks, Dad. So.
Oh, my gosh.
But
I was.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yes, go on. Go on, George.
No, what I wanted to, well, the reason I was called is I want to say thank you so much for all your beautiful words and including me, and your stories. And as I can tell you, I unfortunately have, I'm dyslexic, and the type of dyslexia I have is basically affects my writing. And my affects numbers, but not my reading or retention or vocabulary. But writing is very hard for me, and sometimes I want to write or comment and say, that's how you guys, and especially thank you so much for your beautiful words and just like in times of when things are not, the best for me, you have been such a wonderful light in my life. And I just wanted to call and say thank you so much, because I could never write the way I feel with words, unfortunately. So I wanted to tell you personally that.
Well,
you
George,
are...
you created that yourself, but you brought that on yourself. Anything that you think that we're doing that is wonderful for you or complimenting you, any of the Facebook people that respond to your endless, endless abundance, cornucopia of postings and photographs and everything, anything that you feel that is wonderful from that, you're the one that created that, because you invited it. You've inspired it, and people are inspired by what you post and your stories. Your visuals inspire my stories. For people who don't know what we're talking about, one of my favorite things that George does is George has an obsession, one of his many, of posting photographs of beautiful doorways. Front doors or interior doors, doorways on buildings, in living rooms, but the most absurdly beautiful and strange and miraculous pieces of architecture that you can imagine. Art Nouveau, Art Deco, Louis the 16th, things inside ateliers, things inside ruined palaces in Europe, cottages. And I have been, one day I looked at one, he posted a picture of a beautiful greenhouse. It was like a separate greenhouse from a house, a mansion. It obviously was a greenhouse that belonged to ridiculously wealthy people. And it was small and sweet, but beautiful. And I looked at it and I started chuckling, and I don't know what happened, because people ask me where my stories come from. And I say, well, I don't know where they come from.
I would say mind is a wonderland.
Whatever. Really? And that's why I have 89 cents to my name. This is a good week for me. I have $11.72. But anyway, I looked at this greenhouse and I said, oh, God. And I made it a George Sweet murder mystery. And that's what I wrote. I wrote a George Sweet murder mystery. And then I put my usual three dots. And then I said I'll have to look it up. The deadly greenhouse or the horrible hat box or something. And I wrote a paragraph that was a mini murder mystery. And people, I had 89 likes within 5 minutes. People were like, oh, my God, that's unbelievable. Oh, my God. And George responded, because, of course, when I wrote George Sweet on Facebook, it lit up and tagged him and notified him. And he then came over. He was laughing at it because it was absurd. It's a funny little murder mystery. It's very cute. And it became something that I began doing. And I think I've written 15 of them. And I can't believe you're calling tonight, because Gwendolyn and I talk about synchronicity all the time. We talk about, isn't it funny that sometimes something will happen and then it will engender something? So I was going to notify you tonight, when I got off the show tonight, I was going to notify you on Facebook. you sent a photograph out of a beautiful maisonette on top of a French,
yes,
a Parisian building.
Yes.
And it's got skylights and it's glowing and it's sunset. It's not a photograph, actually. It's a painting, but most people think it's a photograph.
At first, I thought it was a photograph myself.
Everyone thinks it's a photograph, right?
Yeah.
And it's this genius, hyper-realistic painter who is one of the Luminists. That's a school of painting and art. The Luminists, they believe in exploring the feeling and the magic of light, usually in architecture, but also in landscape painting. So anyway, he does this. And this photograph, if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see it. It's there. It's an amazing picture that looks like it's being taken of a maisonette, a penthouse house lit, surrounded by terrace on a French building. And you're about three floors above it, two or three floors above it, looking across a street or whatever at it. And it looks like the most enchanted thing you've ever seen. And it is Paris at its most beautiful. And I wanted to write a story. And George, I'm going to break the news to you right now because this is kind of cool. Okay, this is what I did. Are we out of time already? We're out of time already. I'm just going to tell you briefly. I'm going to tell them very briefly. I asked everyone to write a sentence, a first sentence, for the story. I said, look at this photograph and then write a sentence which you would like to be the first sentence of a story for a new George Sweet murder mystery. And I got about 112 responses. And what I've been doing for the last week, and I'm going to hurry here, for the last week, I took all 112 responses and joined them into a story.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And I'm I'm changing punctuation a little and verb tense. I've had to doctor a few little things, but you people who wrote those in who are listening, you will recognize your sentences in there. And then I put story around some of them so that they would be able to be joined. The story takes place in four different decades, and it is about that little maisonette, that little house. And I will be releasing that story in the next 3 days, and it will be on my page, and you'll recognize it. And it's called A New George Sweet Murder Mystery, and the title of it is A Door Ajar. Okay,
oh my God,
so that's
great.
The name of the story. George, I'm sorry, I talked Yuri off, and
okay. Thank you. Just thank you so much. I love you so much, and I just, you know, I've been meaning to call, but I get a little shy, and I just, you know, said, you know, grow some balls and give a call.
Well, I love you. Give Theodora my love. And one last thing. I know that I have a few people in my life who are dyslexic. And so what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start recording my stories and then broadcast them. I'm going to post them on my SybilSays.com so you can actually listen to me read my own stories. So for those of you that have trouble reading those stories, you'll actually be able to hear me like Fiorella LaGuardia. I'll be reading my stories.
I can read. It's just writing responses. It's like I have dysgraphia, which affects writing, which is
I get it completely.
For people who have a hard time reading, that would be wonderful for them.
Okay.
All right.
All righty. Well,
have a good night. Bye.
Love you a gazillion and give Theodora a big hug for me.
I will. Bye-bye. Bye, everybody.
Good night. All right. Well, we are down to the wire. That show went by. I'm glad George called because he is a major, major spirit on Facebook, and he is adored by thousands of people. Thousands. I know that many listeners tonight. Yes. Yeah, I was sure you would. I want to remind everyone that our sponsor tonight was daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com. The fragrant memories of our ancestors. Do go to their website tonight and check out all of their amazing products. We are on every week on Blog Talk Radio, and we are here courtesy of the Here Be Monsters Studio Network. Gwendolyn Holdenberry, my producer, has made this all possible. And we will see you next Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. I love you all. I'll see you all in the month of February. I love you, Gwendolyn.
I love you too, Mommy. Good night.
Good night. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you in February.